Welcome back, faithful listeners, to Source Material. I am your host, Jesse Starcher, and tonight on the Rattlitchin Broadcasting Network, we work in a rather unique transition from our celebration of the February release of DC's The Lego Batman movie to our upcoming celebration of Marvel's mutant-related March movie release of Logan by bringing you a mashup of the two characters that actually occurred in mainstream comics in 1996. Amalgam Comics' Dark Claw dropped us in on the costumed alter ego of Logan Wayne and one of his most epic battles that he waged against the evil hyena. Join Ronnie Adams of the Screaming Boy podcast and myself as we take a look at this groundbreaking first and only issue of Dark Claw. Don't forget to also give that Rattlitchin Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. You can find us at your convenience on blogtalkradio.com, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or iTunes. Just search Rattlitch to subscribe to the network that Source Material is a part of. If you would like to follow me on Twitter, you can do so by finding me at Stiznarky, and also the show's Twitter is at SourceMatCast. All right, ladies and gents, to the Clawcopter! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to... Oh, wait a second. Let me read this tweet that I just put out. Enciende un transmisión en directo en YouTube. YouTube XXERUDZTO78?A. Follow that link, and you will find the Source Material podcast going on right now.
I don't even know what you just said.
I read my tweet, which apparently goes out in Farsi, also in Spanish.
All right, then.
I don't know why, man. There's got to be a setting. I mean, Teasley actually hopped onto my Twitter a few days back. And he's just like, why is this in Arabic? And I'm like, I don't freaking know. I don't know. We're worldwide. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know what? My good friend, Ronnie Adams from the Screaming Boy podcast. Welcome back to the Source Material podcast. How you doing this evening, sir?
I am well. How are you, sir?
Doing good, dude. Glad to have you back on here. Oh, my apologies. Man. My apologies. Stormwatch came and went.
I don't know if I can get over that.
I know.
I actually read Stormwatch.
Stormwatch number one. It was a fun conversation there with good old Dean Compton. And
yeah, that was a good show.
It was a good show. And I learned a lot. Learned a lot from that episode. And me and you, big Image fans.
Yep. I have to say this, though. Dean, if you are listening right now, or when you listen to this, you have got to cut back on the coffee, brother. I say that because I'm jealous of the energy.
Well, he's got energy, dude. Dean Compton. Here it is. Dean Compton, the Paul Heyman of podcasts.
Oh, absolutely.
How's that?
I love it. I love it. And that's meant as a compliment.
Absolutely.
He is the
I don't
Paul
think
Heyman
he'd find,
is, yeah.
I don't think Dean Compton would find that as an insult in any way, shape, or form. All right. Well, tonight I what did I message you today or was it yesterday? It's yesterday.
Yesterday.
I said, Ronnie Adams, let's do a quick show. Now what we're doing here. This all occurred to me all at once because Mark Rattlitch, get well, sir. You're in the hospital right now as we speak. So Mr. Schedule is not out there marking the schedule as Mark the Schedule does. So,
I know.
We got shows that are falling off left and right because this man is getting his health back in order, as well he should.
Absolutely.
He should.
You know, I just want to, Mark, you are you're an awesome guy and praying for you. And I know you're going to get better soon. So. You'd better not make me a liar and get better soon.
That's right, man. So he's out there, he's getting healed up. So we have a show that we had planned. Mark and I were going to record this coming Monday, Batman 66, which I think encapsulated issues 1 through 5 of Batman 66. Now, I don't
know if things.
So have I. I don't know if that is going to happen. So that's fine. I'm keeping that book. Mark's got that graphic novel. I do not want to cover it without him or without him saying, hey, Jesse, go ahead and cover it without me. So we're going to set that aside. What we like to do here on the Rattlitchin Broadcasting Network is synergize. All right. The Synergizer Bunny. Because
you know how I feel about puns, Starship.
I know.
I'm not quite as passionate as Josh Calandra's, but
I know. I think he would be giving me a standing ovation right about now or something.
you, throwing something at me of two middle fingers.
So the Synergizer Bunny, we've got to figure out something here to do to try and synergize with either Batman, which is Lego Batman, I think released today.
The other day.
Okay, this Thursday, or was it last week?
It was. I think it was last week.
Okay.
A friend of mine posted about seeing Lego Batman with his son.
Okay.
And he was disappointed that it wasn't political. He was being sarcastic.
That was a joke. So there's February for you. February was a Batman month. Then we've got March coming up, which is Old Man Logan. Mm-hmm. So we've got a Wolverine book planned for that point in time, which is Old Man Logan. Well, now is it the title of the new Wolverine movie? Is
just
it,
Logan?
Okay, thank you. So I had a feeling I just messed that up. Anyway, we're going to cover Old Man Logan, the comic book here on Source Material, while lots of other Wolverine-related programming is actually going to be going on that same week. We actually have a Metal Hammer of Doom devoted to a album by Entombed called Wolverine Blues.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, be prepared. There's all sorts of Wolverine stuff going on that week.
The show that I do, what's it called again? Screaming Boy.
haven't done one in so long you forgot the name.
Oh man, let me tell you something. It's killing me right now because of, you know, scheduling. We always complain about scheduling. It's the truth. We just, you know, we all have busy schedules.
Oh yeah.
And it just, you know, the ever present theme is life happens, and it's the truth. But hey, you know, we'll be back possibly if you're listening to this live this Monday, and if you're listening whenever this comes out, we'll be already out.
Oh, that's right. While you're focusing on your content drop, what I have one whole episode content. What I've come up with was okay. Well, hey, why don't we do one of the next best things, and that is to cover a comic that merged Batman and Wolverine in together. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may not be aware, or you may be. If you're a follower of Source Material, last year I got to cover with, hey, Dean Compton.
Oh, imagine that.
Imagine that. The man, the myth, the legend, 90s comics guru himself. We discussed Marvel versus DC. Mm. The crossover that it was the battle of the century. It was build that on the comic book, and it still is, in my opinion, one of the best crossovers that's ever happened in the comic book business. So we covered that. Now, one of the offshoots of what had happened as a result of Marvel and DC universes coming together and battling was a company of, I say a company, it was more like a line of comics called the Amalgam Comics. The concept of this was to merge the two universes into one. That's actually touched on in the episode that me and Dean talked about, where we talked about the battle and also about how these universes came together. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to discuss one book. They released, I think, a total of, man, I want to say 12 books. Let me look here. I could tell you. I want to read straight from the wiki here because that's the professional thing to do. The first amalgam event occurred near the end of Marvel versus DC crossover event in 1996. All right. So we're going back. Get ready, Ronnie. 21 years.
Gosh, dog. You just made me feel so old.
Dude, I mean, when I'm watching people, and I've watched a couple YouTube videos where these guys were laying down the issue and looking at it, and I'm sitting there going, oh, look at that comic, mint condition. That's a 20-year-old comic now. I mean, back in the 90s when me and you were collecting, we were looking at 70s comics then that were 20 years old.
Oh.
They're all ratty and stuff.
I remember getting comic books for a birthday one time, and for my birthday from this girl. I guess maybe I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And she knows, you know, like, she knew, well, I don't know how old I was, but,
I don't know why you didn't marry this girl. She's giving you comics.
I know, right?
She's giving you comics for your birthday.
Just now thinking about that.
What's her name? We'll find her on Facebook.
Yeah. She's got married, but one was a Dick Tracy comic book, and she got me another one. And then she got me an old Ghost Rider comic book, you know, and it was from the late 70s, early 80s, you know, and it's just like, I don't know where she got this stuff, but it was, you know, it was really cool stuff, man. And, just a bunch of comic books. And,
it's just,
And I'm looking at it going, oh my gosh, this was from, you know, 20 years ago, 30, you know, and this is amazing. Yeah. But now it's 70s, it's 40 years ago.
I know, man. Collecting comics is really, it keeps a youth about you, I think, for some reason. You know, we grew up in the 90s, we collected in the 90s, and we continue to collect to today. But then when you start to realize the age of some of the issues, I mean, this was the year of extreme stuff that was going on. You're sitting there thinking, man, I can't believe that was over 20 years ago.
Of course, you've got everything's extreme. You know, Image Comics came out and they were extreme because they had the violence and the sex appeal and all this stuff and no comics code.
Loved it.
They didn't go by the comics code and all that. So that's what the draw to. And then you had the Mountain Dew and Pepsi big mouth slam bottles, extreme this and
the big slams.
Yeah, the big slam. And then you had everything was extreme this, extreme that. I remember in 98, possibly, yeah, about 98, there being a chewing tobacco snuff, a can of snuff that was Extreme Chew. And that's what it was called. Not EX, Extreme Chew. And I was like, and it was like 98 cents for two cans. And I was like, you have got to be hard up to dip that stuff.
Wow. Extreme has done jumped the shark. Wow.
Dude. I mean, like at that point, it was just got to.
Yeah.
Wow.
So 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago, 21 years ago, Marvel versus DC happened. You get the hints of the amalgam universe that occurs after this crossover hits. Again, from the wiki, it says, in that event, the Marvel and DC universes were shown being combined into one, and the amalgam comics were presented as the result of that. The first 12 amalgam titles were released the following week, delaying both publishers' regular releases by 1 week. So imagine that.
And we see how well that worked.
they say, okay, We're not doing any more issues this week. We're not going to release anything. We're just going to release straight 12 issues of the combined product of all of our works for the past however many years. Now, I'm saying that. What I'm saying is they took properties, mashed them together, such as Superboy and Spider-Man.
Yep.
And we get Spider-Boy. we get our subject tonight. We have Batman and Wolverine smashed together and brought to the forefront as Darkclaw.
All right, right away, you've got two. I mean, like we were saying off air, you've got two of, you know, DC and Marvel. You've got their two most popular franchises right there. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you think. Spider-Man, Superman. You go on and on and on, but Wolverine and Batman have sold more comic books than, you know, Wolverine was on 10 teams alone, you know, 7 years ago.
Yeah. And you thought there was a clone problem in Spider-Man.
Right. I mean, like X-Force, X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, Avengers, Mighty Avengers, Secret Avengers, Avengers. And then, you know, he was all over the place, you know, and then Batman, you know, you've got Legends of Batman, you've got Detective Comics, you've got just regular Batman, All-Star Batman, all these other things going on. So two of the most popular franchises, you know, two of the most popular characters that they could possibly get, these two comic titans. And, you know, they say, well, what could be better? You know, you smash all these characters together and you've got Spider-Boy, you've got all these
Captain America, Superman, yeah, combined to become Super Soldier.
So they've got elements of each character in there, except for Batman and Wolverine and the name. They're like, you just can't name him, you know, Wolverbat or something stupid. You got to give him a cool name. And that freaking name is Darkclaw. I mean, come on. And
that's scary.
In the 90s, that was incredible, you know. So they've got this whole, you've got chocolate my peanut butter and peanut butter on my chocolate thing going on. You got two great tastes.
I love that reference. I seriously was going to use that reference tonight.
Sorry.
It works. Perfect.
And they're like, you know, but you can't just name it a chocolate covered, you know, peanut butter or, you know, or something like that. You got to give it a good name, you know, Reese's Cup. And they take something that could have ultimately just been forgotten about. I forgot Super Soldier's name, for goodness sakes. but you don't forget Darkclaw because he's freaking Darkclaw. I mean, come on.
Dude, okay. One of the reviewers that I watched today discussed stated that this was the most popular Malcolm comic that was released. Now, I didn't look up any numbers to confirm that or not, but you just made a good argument to kind of support the whole reason for that. Because Wolverine, there was nobody else that was hotter than Wolverine.
Right.
And Batman, to this day, is a hot commodity. Now, we're in the midst of, between those two properties, there's two movies that are coming out in 2017, and they're not just the one that we just discussed, Lego Batman. It's a freaking Batman movie in Legos.
Right.
That is, I mean, it's probably, I haven't looked at the numbers, but I you just said you watched some dude post something about it. Mm-hmm. I just, seriously, before we started this podcast, I watched Mad Hatter McGinnis. He put something up on Facebook stating that it was, if you like Batman, you need to go watch this movie.
I'm sorry, you know, but you don't, you've got some major star power when you go into Batman or Wolverine or anything like that. I mean, in the Lego Batman alone, you've got Will Arnett, Michael Cera, Rosario Dawson, Ralph Fiennes, Zach Galifianakis, Jenny Slate from, she was in Saturday Night Live, I believe, or still is, Conan O'Brien, Billy Dee freaking Williams.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, who's playing Two-Face, by the way. And if you remember in the 1989 Batman movie with Michael Keaton, he was Harvey Dent.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Zoe Kravitz, Kate, I can't say her last name, but she's been in a lot of stuff. Eddie Izzard, Seth Green, Jermaine Clement, Ellie Kemper, Channing Tatum, who plays Superman, Jonah Hill, who played Green Lantern, who were hilarious in the Lego movie. Adam Devine, Hector Elizondo, Mariah Carey. I mean, the list goes on. You know, they've got, you know, major star power in this. And then you go to the new Batman movie. Who's playing Batman? Freaking Ben Affleck, you know. And before that, it was Christian Bale. And before that, you know, it goes on and on and on and on. Even the sucky Batman movies had big names in them.
So, yeah, and let's flip the script and go over to Wolverine side of things.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this isn't the first Wolverine movie.
No.
It's that we're dealing with. This is our third in the Wolverine franchise. Counting? Is it the fourth?
Yeah. Is it the fourth?
I'm thinking third. The three that I can think of. I'm not counting any of the X-Men. And for some reason, my buddy counts. I don't know. Somebody was saying they counted X-Men Origins as an X-Men movie, which I did not count that as an X. That's a Wolverine movie all the way.
Yeah, Origins Wolverine.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, well,
No Mouth Deadpool.
That's a Wolverine movie.
There you go. Okay, I agree 100%. My buddy was like trying to make an argument that's an X-Men movie. I'm like, dude, it's Wolverine in the title. You watch the origin of Wolverine. It's a freaking Wolverine movie.
I really consider X-Men, the first X-Men, a Wolverine movie too.
Okay.
Because he was the character in the movie. It really revolved around him a lot. While you had some, you know, talented actors in those roles, it really fell on Hugh Jackman's shoulders there. You know, I believe that wholeheartedly. You know, even though you had Patrick Stewart and Halle Berry and a few others in there, it relied solely on Hugh Jackman.
It looks like we're going to see the same thing with this new film.
Yeah. They did phenomenal. Don't get me wrong, but you know, it's one of those things where it was Wolverine centric.
Yes,
but it's not a Wolverine movie. Of course, it's X-Men. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It was three movies. They've got Origins. They've got the Wolverine, and now Logan.
Okay. All right. So again, the point that we're trying to make with all this is the fact that these are two characters. This is 96 that we're looking at this comic book, 21 years ago, and these characters are still to this day in the limelight of pop culture, in theaters, in comic books. Well, I don't know. We might, when it comes to comic books, I don't know if the original Wolverine is in there or not, but we could definitely say Old Man Logan is. Yeah. A form of Wolverine is. Same thing with Batman. If Batman's not in there, he's coming back at some point, or he's off doing something else with somewhere else. So two mainstays of comic universe come together. And it becomes Amalgam's number one issue of Legends of the Dark Claw. All right, now let's go ahead. You know, let's take a few minutes. I want real quick props to the creative team, because I don't know if you recognize any of these names. I can tell you the pencils, pencils by Jim Ballant. I'm sorry, I don't recognize that name. The inks by Ray McCarthy, which I assume is inker here. I'm going off the names on the front here, but I don't recognize that name either. However, I can tell you that this art on this front cover is pretty good. I mean, it looks good.
It's definitely some 90s looking stuff, but I mean, it looks great.
Yeah. Now, our writer, you recognize that name at all, Larry Hama.
Mm-hmm.
A very, very popular writer if you are a fan of the G.I. Joe series. I just finished the most recent Kapow the Pop Cultured. Let me try it again, guys. Kapow the Pop Cultured podcast. Our good buddies down here, Jordan Lowe, Michael K. Easton, Cliff Barnes, and the Grand Poobah himself, Seth. I don't know if he goes by Seth anymore. I think it's just Grand Poobah. But anyway, they were just talking about how the recent, excuse me, I got pop-up windows coming all over the place here. The most recent run, I don't know if it's coming to an end, but Larry Hama wrote like a ton, as in like every single issue of G.I. Joe for the Marvel continuity. And then what happened is it flipped over, and I think it's being published by IDW now. And he picked up from where the final issue of Marvel's G.I. Joe picks up in IDW's. So in other words, I think like, let's say the Marvel issue was 116 and that was the final issue of Marvel. It then picks up in 117 in IDW. And this didn't happen like over the course of a night. There were years in between it. So he picked up continuity shortly thereafter. Anyway, Jordan Lowe, big fan of Larry Hama, and he gets the opportunity here to write a story about a comic book character, which is the most popular comic book character, should be the most popular comic book character ever made. Yeah, I mean, very true. We just said, I mean, the 1 + 1 = 2. So it's gotta be the most popular comic book character ever made. All right. So let's go ahead and we'll pick apart Dark Claw here just by looking at the front cover. I mean, I don't know if you have it in front of you there, but we can clearly see the elements of Batman and the elements of Wolverine put together here. The iconic Wolverine mask that he wore, where this is the 90s Wolverine mask that I'm trying to picture like the Jim Lee X-Men, where he's got those big, long, well, I don't even know what you call them. It's just like extensions from his eyes going up. They're flares off of the mask.
That's the over-exaggerated, you know, ears?
I guess. That's probably that. Yeah.
Sure. But you've got the over-exaggerated ears, the long ones, the long claws.
Now, the claws that you're talking about here, I thought it was neat how they made the claws
almost serrated.
In a bat shape, like the Batarangs.
Yeah.
So at first I was like, oh, that looks pretty evil. And then you realize, oh, okay, they're carving that in there to do a Batarang type of deal. What else we got on here? The long flowing cape, which that was not in Wolverine's repertoire. No, that's definitely all Batman.
That's all Batman right there.
Yeah. It looks like he's got himself a signature Batman tool belt.
It wasn't so much a utility belt, was it?
There you go. That's what I'm looking for. The word I'm looking for is utility belt, where he had all the crap in his belt. I assume.
Well, if you're going to get technical about it, he carries all his crap in his belt.
Hey, it looks like there's some spare Batarangs on the side there. But yeah, we've got the signature black and the signature yellow, which that was already indicative of Wolverine's costume and Marvel, but it was more yellow than it was black for sure. Right.
His was, yellow, black, yellow, blue, yellow, brown.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always yellow.
Yep. Yellow was a big portion of it.
So that cape is out of control, man. And those, the boots, the cape, the boots itself are, I mean, this thing just screams, hey, I'm from the 1990s.
Oh, dude, no doubt.
You know, so, I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's just, it's absolutely gorgeous because, you know, it reminds me of being in the 90s, you know?
96, I mean, let me ask you here. I already know the answer to this, but hey, did you collect Amalgam Comics when they were being released?
I did not. Okay. And I feel that I missed out on a lot by this.
Do you own any right now?
No, I don't. No, okay. I've read, you know, digital. I've read, you know, borrowed. I've read them. But I did not own any Amalgam Comics because I thought it was silly at the time. It didn't hit me as the two biggest names in comic book history are getting together to make a to change, you know, try to change the course of history. It didn't really. But they tried real hard. I mean, they got the best trier award out of that.
I don't know if at the time I thought Amalgam Comics was going to be a thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at Amalgam Legends of the Dark Claw, number one.
Yeah.
There's no number two.
No.
These two companies went into this project, I assume, with the full intent of just saying, okay, we're going to do a slate of number one issues, and then we're done. Because at the end of what happens at the end of Marvel versus DC is after they come together, then, and I think this is covered in Doctor Strange Fate, which ended up being part of the coverage that we did on that. But anyway, they have to pull these universes apart because things are going badly for the Amalgam Universe. This is not supposed to happen.
So sales are waning.
So they have to go and pull them apart. But as a kid myself, I was in 96, I was 18,
mm-hmm.
just getting ready to graduate. I remember these hitting the shelves, and I was in the same boat as you. I didn't buy any. I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
But if they did something like this today, I probably would recognize how rare of an opportunity it would be to get a hold of these comics. Now back in the 90s, you know, as you can see up here in the top right corner, number one, big.
Oh, that was a big thing.
Oh yeah. You had to get that number one issue. And just because don't think that Marvel and DC were just going, you know, we'll just toss these stories out there and we'll be okay. And we're not going to make a big fuss over the fact they're all number one issues and everybody's trying to get a number one issue of something. Everybody, if it had number one on it, I mean, it carried this, I don't want to say stigma, but it carried this, the appeal. It carried this appeal that, oh my gosh, I got to get that number one. This could be the next Superman.
It could be the next death of Superman.
welcome to the 90s, my friends, where everything was all about, you know, gimmicks, throwing out there the number ones.
I'm really shocked that these weren't foil embossed, you know, hologram craziness covers.
One of the things that I had in my notes here was a very, very indicative thing of the 90s. There are Amalgam trading cards.
What?
Yes. And we get our treat to these issues, right? But you have to understand, with DC and Marvel going into this thinking, okay, we only have these number one issues. We're not planning on doing a series of 12. We're not running this past next week. They have to fit as much crap as they can into one issue so that somebody who picks up the Legends of the Dark Claw opens it up and says, okay, I understand everything that's going on, while in fact making you realize that this is dropping you in on a universe that in a character that's in the middle of everything. I mean, when we open this issue, it's a fight between Dark Claw and his worst, vilest enemy, the Hyena. And we have no build up to that fight, okay? Which it could have happened in the previous issue. However, Dark Claw number one, there are zero issues, I think, in 96. But anyway, they're dropping you in the middle of the continuity, pretty much. But what I'm getting at is when they did these trading cards, one of the big things that was a selling point to me right now, 2017, Jesse Starcher, why I'd love to get a hold of these comic book cards is because a lot of the continuity is on the back of those bios of those cards.
Yes. Yeah.
Let me give you an example here. I'm going to stop screen sharing here real quick. I'm going to pull up this picture that I found online because I'd been messing around all day, kind of doing my due diligence as a researcher or whatever. You're going to love this. If you don't know much about the cards, dude, you're going to get a kick out of this. All right. Now, I don't know if you have this in front of you or not.
I do.
Okay. Now, here's the back of one of these cards. I believe this is the back of one. I'm going to read this to you. climactic issue of Secret Crisis. Shocked readers with the sacrifice of American Girl. Super Soldier had just returned to the continuity, and although American Girl was patterned after his old partner, the two characters had never met before this issue. Fans were outraged, and Amalgam's phone lines blazed for weeks with angry calls. Folks, there was no Amalgam.
They're making things up.
There was nothing. There was nothing. But look at the name. Okay, look at the title of that issue. Secret Crisis of the Infinity Hour number 7, October of 1985.
Oh, my word.
They had a lot of fun doing these cards. And one of the characters that we get into here in this book is a girl by the name of Sparrow. I'll get into her origin, and you'll see specifically what she looks like. But one of the things you do not know, unless you have the trading card and are looking at the back of it, is that she found Darkclaw injured at a mall, and that's where Dark, you know, they became friends. There was a bond that happened between them, and she became Darkclaw's sidekick. So that's not in this book anywhere.
Or his ward.
That's not in this book anywhere. If you had the card, though, you could look at the back and see those bios. So anyway, I just love Secret Crisis of the Infinity Hour. That is probably one of my favorite titles to a comic book that never existed. So there you go.
I love it.
They had so much fun with that, though.
Yeah.
Whoever wrote that was just like, all right, we've just got to, once again, peanut butter and chocolate and peanut butter. Let's take all the best, you know, all the biggest names that we got. Secret Wars, Infinity Crisis. I don't know where Hour came from.
No, Zero Hour.
Zero Hour.
Secret Wars, Crisis on Infinite Earths, Infinity Gauntlet, and then Zero Hour. So they took all four of those huge events and shoved them into one. It's great stuff.
I love it.
But okay, so let's go ahead and we'll get into the issue here. So we already talked about our creators. Now, and we tore apart Darkclaw's cover here, talked about what he looked like. And we open it up. We're right smack dab. Look at that picture. I mean, just right off the bat. April of 1996, Darkclaw coming at you. Black and yellow, black and yellow. And I hate that song.
That was terrible.
Oh, one of the other things that I want to point out here, there was apparently the way that they did this when they did the divided up the publishing duties of these comics. I think 6 were done by Marvel and 6 DC. So this one right here, as much as this really feels like a Marvel property to me, this was actually published by DC. This one was. So yeah, you'll see down, you can probably barely see it down here, but it says Legends of the Darkclaw, April 96, published by DC Comics. So here it is. I mean, it's just so cool. I'm a big fan of crossovers. I don't know if you are, but that's one of my favorite things. So we're in the midst of a battle here. It's a battle between the hyena, the evil doer, the worst evil doer in Darkclaw's rogues, and Darkclaw are battling. I think they're on a newspaper press. So they're battling back and forth, and you know, the hyena is just barely escaping with his life. As they make their way outside, these goons show up that are hyena's goons, and they force Darkclaw to back off while hyena escapes. Darkclaw, I think, jumps off the building or something like that, and he's rescued by Sparrow. Now, if you take a good look, you can probably see Sparrow right here in the top right panel of this page. She's a cross between our dimensional crossed lovers from Marvel versus DC, Jubilee.
Oh, so stupid.
Jubilee and Robin. So there you go. We got Sparrow, who is the sidekick piloting the
clawcopter.
Thank you. The clawcopter. I believe that's what it's called. The clawcopter. Hyena escapes. Darkclaw's rescued. They make their way back. If you remember in the Marvel comics, there was always a bond between Wolverine and Jubilee. So it's kind of neat to see them two over here in this amalgam universe kind of going through the same thing. All right. Now we're introduced here to this in this next page to Huntress, who is, at first I thought this was Catwoman. I was like, this is a Catwoman crossover with something, but this is actually a crossover between Carol Danvers, which I think in the 90s was
Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Huntress. So Huntress is breaking into Logan Wayne's.
Well, dun, dun, dun.
residence, and she's following up on a lead. And as she's kind of making her way through there, she discovers that Logan Wayne is Darkclaw. She, of course, finds this out in a closet, which apparently he just leaves his costumes hanging up in. But
Where else would you leave?
Well, you think you'd have a little bit of a lock and key or something like that, but no secret compartment. They're just hanging out in the closet. So she finds this out just as Darkclaw shows up home. Now there's a bit of origin telling that goes on in these next few pages. Cause hey, like I said, we've got to pack all this stuff into one book, and we got to create a history. We've got to create a continuity for all these characters. So we find out that Darkclaw was part of a company straight here. Wolverine was part of a secret Canadian project along with a guy by the name of Creed H. Quinn, who is, of course, the hyena. And what we learn is that in this failed experiment that occurred, there were the Canadian government, which apparently there's four subjects that were part of this project. Now, I don't remember if they mentioned what happened to the other two, but two of them were definitely Darkclaw and Hyena. The purpose of this experiment was to come up with a weapon that was a remorseless killing machine, very much like the Weapon X project. Okay, that is clearly what they're trying to get at here. However, the experiment failed on both Logan and Creed. It turns out, even though it hyped up their powers, Creed had an imagination. And I don't know if the experiment drove him crazy or he was crazy going into it. So he's very much like the Joker. And we didn't even describe what Hyena looks like here.
You could pretty much guess if you're a comic book fan.
That's the truth. I'm going to scroll back here to this beautiful two-page splash of a title page here, Through a Glass Darkly, as we look at Hyena, who is a hybrid of the Joker and I want to say Sabretooth. Is there any other elements in there that you could see?
No, not at all.
The costumes clearly changed because his name's Hyena, so he's got to reflect that animal. So we got some spots and we got a yellow and black costume, but that is
green.
Go ahead.
We have a friend.
That's good. We're just going to leave it at that. we have friends.
Shut up. who actually makes custom toys, and he does a lot of this, and he does a really good job.
Are we talking about
Aaron Hickman.
Yes.
And he's on Facebook with, what's the group called? Why am I blanking right now?
It is Dave's All American Toys and Comics, I believe.
Exactly. Dave's All American Toys and Comics. And he does some beautiful work on custom figures. He takes figures and he looks at them. He says, he sees a Nick Fury and says, I can make a whatever out of this. I can make a Thomas Wayne out of this. Imagine, me saying all this great stuff. He does all this great stuff and take it down about 16 notches.
Okay.
And you have some kid who ripped the head off his Joker figure and put it on top of his Sabretooth figure. And then there's painted black spots on it. And there you go.
That ain't that bad. Come on.
It's not that bad, but
there's some armor involved here. But yes,
it's the 90s. There's always armor and pouches and guns involved.
He does have a pouch. Yeah, you've got a Joker face. You're right. And there's a joke. It's just a Joker head on a
it's a Joker head on a Sabretooth body.
I mean, he's just this pale white face out in the middle of everything else, out on the black and yellow, and that's it. And of course, we have this green, what would have been Sabretooth's mane. It's the green Joker hair. So there's our best description of Hyena, the dastardly Hyena. The origin story. The two guys in the experiment, Logan has a conscience, so he comes out of the experiment still with that conscience, and he's not a remorseless killing machine, while Creed is the one with the imagination, still, he escapes as well. So these guys are souped up from whatever this Canadian project is. We got to figure out, why in the world was Hyena in a newspaper building? Why was he over there robbing a... I don't know if he was robbing, but why was he over there in this newspaper printing office? We find out that he messed with the subtype. He messed with the printing type that was going to print next day's paper. And they find out and they look at it, and it turns out the hyena was going to tell everybody that he was going to gas the president on Air Force One. Oh, what a dastardly plot. So dastardly that he decided to leave a clue. It almost feels very Riddler-esque. AF1 plus NACN. Oh my goodness, that's the NACN is sodium cyanide. So he is going to gas the president on Air Force One. So Dark Claw, the next day, makes his way onto the plane. Now, I want to go ahead and just point out here real quick that as Dark Claw is on or making his way there in the claw copter, all right, he's hanging out on the side and he's going to, you know, he's going to make a jump. But in order to make that jump, Huntress, who is along for the ride now, has a crossbow grappling hook that she uses to snag the tires of Air Force One as it is taking off. Now, there's no love lost between Huntress and Sparrow. And I want to explain that to you just in this one little shot, you know, first words up here in this top panel. Tell the slut to take her shot.
Oh, my God. Rough much?
I was like, what? No, wait a second.
What did I do to you?
What did she do? I mean, come on. You calling her a slut? That's now, there's been a few times. I don't know if I've ever read the word slut in a comic book. I may have.
Oh, you have, but it's rare.
A DC Marvel crossover comic with a comic book authority right on the front.
Yeah, we're talking Image comics, you know, and Dark Horse and all that, where you read that kind of language.
Yeah, you're calling some girl a slut. You just met her like yesterday. anyway, well, now we know that Robin, at least in, I think it was Hush. Maybe it was Hush. But we know that Robin and Catwoman never got along. So maybe that's what they were trying to play on here.
Maybe.
But just pointing out here. So anyway, Dark Claw makes his way over to Air Force One, jumps in there. He's got to fight off some of the Secret Service agents that think he's there to kill off the president. Hey, look, guys, I'm here. The hyena is going to gas the plane. And just then the hyena jumps out, starts shooting Secret Service agents. Get the president to safety, which looks an awful lot like Bill Clinton. Let me go ahead and we'll get to that page real quick. Oh, there he is. Oh, gosh. I can't do an impression. I was going to try to do a Bill Clinton impression.
I'm not even going to try.
That was horrible. Anyway, they're trying to get him to safety. Hyena releases the gas. And at this time, we have a choice to make, okay? We either going to die in this plane, or we've got to get out of it somehow. Dark Claw, of course, snicked. Out come the claws. He rips open the side of the plane with those claws of his, sucking all the gas out along with him and the hyena. As they fall to the ground, hyena's laughing it up, as the hyena does. He says, hey, I've got a parachute. I'll see you later.
As the hyena does.
As the hyena does. He's always got a plan. As Dark Claw falls, Sparrow comes around and yet again with the claw copter rescues him. And we end the issue with Dark Claw's intent to circle back around and get another crack at the hyena. And that's it. Next issue, the claw, this crossbow. So that was the next issue that was supposed to happen. So there's your introduction, your story for Dark Claw. Legends of the Dark Claw, which, what do you think, man? I mean, as for a story here, what would you want out of an amalgam story? Would you just want a one-shot, or do you like this being dropped into a universe that has all this continuity that never existed?
That's a hard question, because I'm always a sucker for a good story. Taking two popular characters like this, as much as I didn't see it back in the day, I see it now, that, yeah, I kind of want to see where they would go with this. What happens with Sparrow and Huntress, and why she hates her so much. And
well, here's the thing. Next, as we flip over to the letters page, we have, I mean, this is all formatted just like a regular comic book would, like you're on issue 150. Next issue, whose side is the Huntress really on? You'll be devastated when you learn the awesome answer in this claw, this crossbow. So, you know, they're setting it up for that little bit of intrigue. And maybe there's a little bit of history between Sparrow. Maybe she has a reason to call her a slut. I don't know.
I will say this.
Okay.
You're not saying so it. Far, I'm trying. There's only so far you can go with shoving your reader straight into into a storyline with no backstory, no anything like that. I constantly argue with a friend of mine about, he's like, I like these Marvel movies and all this, but do they have to tell the story of each new person? Yes. Yes. Even though we as readers may be familiar with the backstory of Doctor Strange or the Avengers or Captain America or whatever's going on in the Marvel universe, there's a whole bunch of people who may be new to this who are not aware of, you know, Doctor Strange being a surgeon with a god complex, you know, who you know, gets his ego, you know, wiped out and has to, you know, basically start over. And that Captain America wasn't always the super soldier. He was actually a sickly young man who all he wanted to do was defend his country, mm-hmm. fight for his country. I don't know if their intent was to actually get more out of this, or if it was just to leave it at a one, you know, one shots.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like a one shot deal.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they were going to say, hey, we actually need to join forces and continue this on.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I mean, this was, I'm sure, planned all at the forefront just to go, okay, hey, we're going to do all number ones and that's it.
Yeah.
We're not going to go continue any further. So, okay, well, how do you want to do this? We're only going to do one issue. Well, let's just, continuity's been going on. These universes have been going on for ages since these two universes have come together. So we're just going to drop readers right into the continuity and right into the story. Now, what would have been interesting is if they would have like chose different issue numbers.
If
they said like, hey,
it's just confused the heck out of everybody.
Legends of Dark Claw 87. You're like, that would have really been, you wouldn't have been able to sell the number one gimmick though. So
no. Yeah.
But I liked that, me personally, because it's true to the theme of what was going on with Marvel versus DC, mm-hmm. and how, you know, these universes had come together. So they're just like, oh, hey, we're going to drop everybody in here. I mean, I read an issue, I think it was of X-Patrol a few weeks back, which I would love, absolutely love. If I have the time, I will do every single one of these amalgam issues this year. But I read the X-Patrol issue, and it's very much the same way. It's mm-hmm. almost like the finish. It's almost like the finished part of a story arc. Like, you imagine picking up one of the story arcs in Invincible, but you're picking up that final part of that story.
Confused all the pieces.
And you can only do so much exposition in a comic book without readers going, oh, geez, Louise, I need to see pictures instead of words.
Well, it's Invincible. You'd be like, you'd have to go back and explain that he got his powers from his dad, who's also an alien, who's also there to, you know, take over the world, but actually turn good because he was in love with his wife and fell in love with his family and his blah, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden they go back in time and they redo everything. Then they go forward in time. Then they go sideways in time. And, you know, you can't do that with one thought bubble. You know, you have to put some effort into this.
Yeah.
So this was fun. I mean, and that's, I really honestly believe that's all it was meant to be, was fun, and to make a quick buck for both companies. And they succeeded in that. You know, they made that quick buck because they sold trading cards and everything else. And I don't know how, you know, I haven't looked at any of the numbers for Amalgam Comics and see how well they sold, but there's only so far you can go with these popular characters like Batman and Wolverine mashed together and then Captain America and Superman. You can't dedicate the time that you would need to this with two separate companies mm-hmm. who are also trying to survive on their own.
Yeah.
It would have led to the end of comics as we know it. We're both wrestling fans, and if you're a wrestling fan, you may get this. If not, I apologize for completely nerding out on you. But it's just like the WWE now. You know, it was WWF and WCW. In the image, right, there was ECW, because they took it a step further than WCW and WWF would want to go.
Extreme,
exactly. Extreme Championship Wrestling. Holy crap. Even then, you know, ECW and WWF did some stuff together. WCW kind of just stayed there, you know, stayed in their own. which is kind of how I see DC doing. But, you know, these companies, you know, would work together every once in a while, you know, just to make some money, you know, because everybody wanted to see the, you know, Ric Flair as a WCW world champion go against Hulk Hogan, who was WWF world champion or whatever. Yeah. Everybody wanted to see that. So every once in a while they would, you know, they would work together and make some money and that was it. But then it leads to what we have in wrestling now, where, which is one company
big owns monopoly
everything and makes a monopoly and does what they want and no longer cares about the fans.
Mm-hmm.
It would have led to that, you know, somebody would have bought somebody else out and they were like, okay, Dark Claw is now just known as Wolverine and, you know, blah, blah, blah. The Batman's no more. Or, you know, I don't know if you could get rid of Batman, but, you know, it's...
No, you take that property, you take that best bit of whatever that company was, much right. like what they tried to do with WCW after they bought them.
Right.
And keep them around. And trying to keep them separate was...
And then you adopt what works and what doesn't, you know, and into your company, and what doesn't work or what you think doesn't work, you get rid of.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So... You saw that, you know, with the wrestling, you know, the ones who didn't quite fit in, the Buff Bagwells, the Disco Infernos and stuff like that, they were fired.
Yep.
You know, and they were mainstays in WCW. You know, you didn't go with hardly without a Nitro or a Thunder without a Disco Inferno match, you know, and as, you know, to much to the chagrin of everybody watching, you had to go through that to get to the other matches that you liked.
Side note, Disco Inferno.
Still wrestling.
Still wrestling, and Josh Calandra's second favorite wrestler.
What?
Well, you know, no one can top. No one can top Baron Von Turd.
Baron Von Turd. Holy crap! No pun intended.
Oh man! All right, so I want to really quickly just pull your attention here to the letters column of this Amalgam Comics from number
How
one.
How do you get people writing to number one?
You don't. You don't.
You make it up.
Make it up, such as this thing here. Okay, I'm down here in the second paragraph, our second letter, and he goes on and on about how he has collections of a comic book called Sleuth Comics. And then he gets this one point where he says, who is this upstart Larry Hama anyway? Wasn't he the writer on Sergeant Fury? Screw that all up. Sergeant Fury and the Combat Happy Joes of Easy Company. Obviously an allusion to the G.I. Joes that Larry Hama was the writer.
Right. And then, of course, Sergeant Rock and Nick Fury.
Yeah, and then Larry Hama couldn't write his way out of a paper bag if it was on fire. He actually writes stories that have endings. Hence what we were just talking about earlier with the G.I. Joe continuity that's gone on forever. So, okay, that wasn't the one I wanted to point out here. This is my favorite, okay? We're going 1, 2, 3, fourth letter down. Dear Slicers and Dicers, I wrote a song about Dark Claw. Here it is. So here we go. Source material exclusive. Jesse Starcher raps the Dark Claw song right out of the back of the letters page of Dark Claw in Amalgam Comics. Who is the baddest, raddest dude? 1990s people. Okay, you ready? Who is the baddest, raddest dude? Who got the style? Who got the moves? Who throws down on the gangsters and the rudes? Who chucks the molesters off of the roofs? It's Dark Claw snicked. Dark Claw snicked. You looting and shooting and a bumping and a thumping. You better get straight or you're going to get a lumping because the clawed canuck going to mess you up, going to rip you out your kidneys and mail them down to Sydney, Australia, and then he's punching your face into luncheon meat all covered with ketchup while you're just standing there saying, what's up, what's up? And outside it's raining fists on your head. If you don't know better, you think you was dead. Dark Claw snicked. Dark Claw snicked.
Okay, speaking of punching.
How do you like this song? It needs a heavy house beat with some rad samples. If you like it, I have hundreds more. Your best friend. Now, there's no way this is a real name. But if it is, I apologize to anybody who has this first
name.
Don't
apologize.
Chishong Arbuthnot. All right. Now, here's the thing.
Oh my lord.
I'm gonna reach here, okay? 1996, all right? I just rapped you that song. We're gonna call it a rap.
Well, yeah, we're gonna call it a rap. But I'm not sure that's what it was.
Okay. So anyway, I'm sitting there going, okay, how are they coming up with these names? Chishong Arbuthnot? So the first thing I'm thinking is anagram. This is an anagram of something.
Okay. Yeah.
There are anagram machines. There are anagram sites out there, servers. Yeah. All right. So you want to know what I did 10 minutes before we started this podcast? I shoved Tashong Arbuthnot into an anagram thing, anagram server, just to see what I would come up with. Now, I can tell you,
Jesse.
I can tell you right now, a combination of all those characters together, it resulted in 15,000 different anagrams that this server came up with.
Of course it did. Look at the name.
10 of which started with the word Bane. Yeah, put that in perspective. But what I came up with just looking at it, because this was reportedly from Cleveland, Ohio, you can look at those letters and come up with, I know you can come up with the word, the two words, bone thugs.
Oh, no way.
But there's still a couple letters left over. So I couldn't make it fully work, but bone thugs is in those letters. just letting you know that. And bone thugs, believe it or not, one of my favorite rap bands of all time.
It's the first of the month.
East 1999. Don't get me started. I'll get Golden Age Dave on here. Me and him will be talking bone for like the next hour. So, all right.
I'm not gonna lie, I kinda wanna hear that, but you know.
Oh man. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that it brings us to the end of Amalgam Comics Legends of the Dark Claw number one. I hope you all enjoyed it. I think if you get your hands on it, I don't think this is going to cost you anything, because this certainly wasn't a rare comic book. The 90s were full of overproduction, just inventory out the wazoo. I believe I came across a few of these in an auction, if I remember right, but they are really, they're not too hard to find. They're not too expensive.
You can also get The Adventures of the Dark Claw.
Yes.
Which is the animated version, you know, like Batman, you know, Adventures of Batman animated.
Yeah. It was The Adventures of Batman, which was that, by the way, I believe is where Harley Quinn first got her comic book. Harley Quinn's first appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, which is a comic book that unless you were looking for that first appearance of Harley Quinn, it would probably be unnoticed. Compared to the rest of the stuff. Like if somebody's got a run of Batman, the animated series sitting there, or The Adventures of Batman, whatever it is,
you could possibly be sitting on a gold mine.
Yeah. You have Harley Quinn's one of the hottest female characters out there right now. Some people may not know that because 90s comics were there were so many of them and people got so jaded after they found out a lot of them weren't worth anything.
Death of Superman.
Yeah. Again, it's something like that could get really easily overlooked by someone who doesn't know what they have on their hands.
Absolutely.
I can't think of anything else to really say other than I'd love to at some point revisit another Amalgam issue. If I have the time this year, I would put it together. We're looking at, these came out in 96 and 90. I think they said a round of them came out in 97. I could be wrong, but it started in 96 after DC and Marvel. Now they did say that note, the first 12 Amalgam titles were released the following week, so they released all 12. I swear there's more than that, though. 24 comics have been reprinted in 4 collected editions. The Amalgam Age of Comics, which is the first 12 that we were talking about. So the DC Comics side of things, there are a total of 6 that they published, and Marvel Comics side of things, published 6 on their end. So we have Amazon, Assassins, Doctor Strange Fate, JLX.
Let's look at the. Can we kind of say who they?
Yeah,
are a mashup of Amazon. Of course, was going to be Wonder Woman and somebody.
Hold on, let's look. Has to be, but here's the thing: Diana Prince. Who's Diana Prince? That's
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. She is in Bullets and Bracelets.
Yeah.
So Bullets and Bracelets being the cross between. Oh man, I want to say it was Hal Jordan and the Punisher, because it looks like a Hal Jordan. See, we, as you can tell, folks, we're not exactly prepared in any way, shape, or form.
This is free.
That's right. So that's right.
That is back right. Off.
Now I want to go to. Don't take me there. I want to go to. Let's go. Okay, here we go. Amalgam Database. Amazon. Ooh. Okay, here we go. Amazon. Princess Aurora of Themyscira, or Themyscira, however you say that. So she's Storm and Wonder Woman put together. All right.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
You had it. You had it. Then we have, after that, we have Assassins, which was Elektra. Okay. Cat's Eye, which was Cat's Eye spelled C-A-T-S-A-I.
Shut up.
The name, her name was Elektra Kyle, clearly an amalgamation of Selena Kyle and Elektra. We have Dare the Terminator, Slade Murdoch, a female amalgamation. Yeah.
I love it.
A female amalgamation of DC's Deathstroke and Marvel's Daredevil. So there's like, your.
Yeah, I forgot that they did a.
There's your.
There's
your assassins right there. Now, Doctor Strange Fate, they have. The way this is set up, it actually gives us a breakdown of all the characters in. Apparently, it's in alphabetical order in each issue. But Doctor Strange Fate was mainly. Can you take a guess on.
If you can't, you need to stop collecting comics. Doctor Strange and Doctor Fate.
There you go. A combination of those, which he played a significant role in separating the two universes. So he helped out and ended the Amalgam Universe. Then we have JLX.
Oh, gee.
Yeah. Justice League of America, crossed over X-Men. With X-Men. Mm-hmm. Legends of the Dark Claw, which we just clearly ruined for everybody.
I like how you didn't say explained or, you know.
We ruined it.
We absolutely butchered that for you people. Enjoy it.
Super Soldier. This version of Clark Kent is a human who takes a Super Soldier serum containing alien DNA.
Ooh.
Yeah. His, you're going to love this. His mortal enemy, the Green Skull.
The Green Skull.
Lex Luthor, Red Skull, mashed together. And then we have Ultra Metallo, which is an amalgamation of DC's Metallo.
Ultron and Metallo.
Then we have, this is Marvel, 1996 is Marvel's side of things, Bruce Wayne, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh.
Yeah, so Logan Wayne, I wonder if he's going to be related somehow. Yeah, we got almost three Batman titles. You talked about the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Legends of the Dark Claw, and then we have Bruce Wayne, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I don't know if Batman's part of it, but there's quite a few Bat characters. We got Black Bat, which is a crossover of Batgirl and Black Cat.
Wow.
Bullets and Bracelets.
Are you telling me this didn't end? I mean, this didn't end well for both. I can't believe that.
Diana Prince, Bullets and Bracelets, Diana Prince, Princess Diana of Themyscira, an amalgam of version of DC's Wonder Woman. So they really don't really go into a whole lot. I mean, that's Wonder Woman. And then the Punisher, Trevor Castle, an amalgamation of DC's Steve Trevor and Marvel's was the Punisher. So there's your Bullets and Bracelets, which I've read that and I enjoyed that issue. And I hope to cover that one on here. Magneto and the Magnetic Men.
They didn't even bother changing his name.
No, they did not. There's quite a few characters they didn't touch.
Marvel said, we're doing this our way. Screw off, everybody. Magneto is staying Magneto.
Speed Demon.
Yeah, Ghost Rider and
I'm pretty sure Flash, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's Speed Demon.
He's an agent of hell that just runs really fast. I mean,
I have no idea. I know I've read that, but I can tell you I do not remember it at all. Okay, up next. Let me go back to my... Here we go. Spider-Boy, which we talked about.
Yep.
X-Patrol, which is a cross between Doom Patrol and probably X-Factor, I think.
X-Factor, I would think, yeah.
All right, so then we'll kind of talk about the 1997 run here real quick. We'll run down through these. 1997, Bat-Thing.
Is that Batman and Man-Thing? Please say yes.
Man-Bat and Man-Thing.
Man, oh, yes, Man-Bat.
Dark Claw Adventures, which we talked about. Okay, you want to know one of the villains in Dark Claw Adventures?
Yes, I do.
Ross Apocalypse.
No, you can't do that.
It's there. No way. There is a... You'll get this immediately. Apparently, there is a character, THX-1138.
What?
Yeah, which... Do you know? Do you recognize what that is?
Steven Spielberg.
George Lucas, but hey,
George Lucas.
I'll give you points.
When I say Steven Spielberg, oh my gosh, I need to quit everything. Life.
He runs a movie podcast, ladies and gentlemen. He is.
I used to run a movie podcast. I don't any longer.
That's why he switched to pop culture.
Yeah, because apparently I can't tell two iconic directors from, you know.
Hey, I got the wiki in front of me, so I probably wouldn't have. I probably would have been like, wasn't that Quentin Tarantino? Anyway, Generation Hex.
Oh Lord.
So we got, yeah, that's, I know Generation X, and I knew Jonah Hex was going to be part of that.
Yeah.
So it's probably Generation X back in the old West.
It's, let's scrape the bottom of the barrel is what that is.
I almost want to play a game and start like naming some of the obscure, because they got some obscure names here of combinations of people.
All right. Let me redeem myself. Go ahead and name a couple.
Ah, well, that one's too easy. Fing Fang Flame. This is out of JLX Unleashed. So I know you can probably name one of those characters. The other one I've never heard of. I'm a DC guy, or excuse me, I'm not a DC guy. I'm somewhat. You know a little bit about DC, but you're more Marvel yourself. Oh, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
So I don't hear
make my Marvel, no prizes.
Okay, I'll tell you what, JLX Unleashed. Here's let's see if we can get this one. Red Vision.
Red Tornado and Vision.
Very good, very good. You win. We got to read Lobo the Duck. We got to have we got to have Josh Calandris on for that one.
He's probably shaking his fist in rage right now.
Alf, I'm going to read some of these character names we have here. Al Forbush, Ambush the Lunatic, Beverline, Billy the Millie, Daryl Rutabaga, Dr. Bongface, Gamorla, God Thing, Gold Kidney Lad, Gold Kidney Lady, Impossible Dog, Jonas Turnip, and Lobo the Duck. There's your rundown for the characters in Lobo the Duck.
So they basically said, let's take the two silliest comic books that we have. Howard the Duck and Lobo.
Yeah, Lobo was
great.
Yeah, Lobo was. I've never read an issue of Lobo, but you could probably hold up a cover of Lobo, and I'd be like, oh yeah, I remember that one. I remember looking at that cover because he was. Well, him and Wolverine went at it in Marvel versus DC.
Yeah, because basically Lobo was an answer to Wolverine, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah, and if I remember right, Dean made a case, because I didn't think, I was like, why Lobo? And there was a case that was made for Lobo at that point, which made sense. All right, Super Soldier, Man of War. So we kind of talked about Super Soldier. And the Marvel publishing side of things in 1997, we have Challengers of the Fantastic. So there is, that's Fantastic Four and Challengers of the Unknown.
Ah, there yes.
we go. All right.
Why wouldn't we know that?
It's the unknown. Exciting X Patrol.
Oh, my Lord.
How many X's? I'd like to know how many
X's. So many X's. So many extremes.
Right out of the 90s. Iron Lantern.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yep. Magnetic Men featuring Magneto. Now, we're going to call it. Now, 1996, we had Magneto and the Magnetic Men. And then, how could we spin that title? I got an idea. Let's put Magnetic Men first.
And he's just got a picture of Magneto in his regular costume, shrugging, going, I don't know why I'm here. I don't get it.
I'm featured. I'm
contractually bound to be in this comic book.
Spider Boy team up. So we have, it's you should living. See. Dude, that's, you know, that has become the soundbite now for the Revolution broadcast.
It's a living.
Oh, dude. Some of the Metal Hammer of Dooms, Mark's got to whip that out every time, and it cracks me and Coop up like you wouldn't believe. All right, so Spider-Boy team-up, which is the longest list of freaking mashup characters that I've ever seen. I mean, we're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10... 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31 mashup characters in Spider-Boy team-up.
I'm not even sure that there's that many characters in the comic books.
Dude, seriously. I mean, Challenger the Fantastic has a good bit, but dang. I mean, they were like, okay, we have all these great concepts that we have, but we can't fit them in any. Just throw them in Team Up. Spider-Boy Team Up. And that's where they go. We have Tharlok. That's one of the characters that show up in here.
I don't even know.
DC Comics Tharlok and Marvel's Deathlok. Let me see. What's the easiest one off of here? Jeez.
What did I say about scraping the bottom of the barrel earlier?
Dude, there's some bads. Like Sparkler, an amalgam
Dazzler.
Of DC's Lightlass and Marvel's Dazzler.
Who?
Yeah. Now, see, here's the thing. What we might do if I do this, I would love to do a roundup of like top three, best, and then bottom three. Thorian of the New Asgods, which only apparently has two characters in it. There's no way.
Thor and Thorian. Who's the other one? Thor and who?
DC's Orion.
Orion. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we have an amalgamation. The apparent villain, I would assume, in that book is Lok Dasad, which is an amalgamation of Dasad and Marvel's Loki.
Oh.
Lok Dasad.
Lok Dasad. That's just awful.
Man.
I mean, I'm not crapping on this stuff. I hope nobody thinks I'm really that mean. I'm just, we're having fun now, but you know. It's one of those things where you take these popular characters and you mash them together. You're not going to get a Dark Claw every time. It seems like, and we laugh about it now, it's still fun to read and it's still fun to look at. But they were really reaching just to, you know, how can we – we got to put Orion and Thor together.
Well,
so what do we do here, you know?
There's one thing that I can give them credit for is the fact that, you know, in hindsight, they never did this again.
Yeah.
This never happened again. So if you had the opportunity and you were part of the creative team between these two gigantic companies.
I would jump all over that.
You're like, okay, give me this. Yeah. I've got these great ideas. Let me do this.
Why don't they take, I mean, I'm sure they did. I can't remember, but Thanos and Darkseid.
They did.
Yeah. And but what'd they name him?
He was one of the bad guys. I could tell you here real quick. He was one of the bad guys in the JLX book. Let me look. I want to say Thanicide.
You see, Darkthos.
You know, they mashed up Dr. Doom and Doomsday.
Dr. Doom Doom?
Dr. Doom Doom.
Dr. Doomsday?
There you go. Thanicide. I'll bring them up here real quick. I'll bring up some images just so you can get a good look. Good look. You would have been perfect for this team back then, Ronnie Adams.
I would come up with much better names.
They were part, I think, of the battle, or at least it was alluded to in the actual comics, but Marvel versus DC, that is. So here's a really big, I don't know, because they fought each other for sure. I'm having a hard time finding. Let me type in Thanicide real quick. Welcome to the part of the show where we just don't give a crap about.
If you're still listening, you are a champ, and we love you.
Congratulations, you're bored to death.
Thanicide.
I'm going to go ahead and let me get.
His picture is really cool, though.
There we go. There you go. Thanicide, which, I mean, he looks freaking like Darkseid with a purple face and the old wrinkly chin.
Prune chin.
Ye old prune chin.
Yep.
There you go. So, yeah, I mean, you were grasping everything you can and just tossing it together. And out comes Amalgam, which, hey, ladies and gentlemen, just to kind of give you the brilliance of Amalgam Comics. I mean, think of the word amalgam itself.
Amalgam?
Let me stop presenting. Yeah, let's go to Webster's Dictionary. Let me take a screenshot real quick. Did you know that Amalgam Comics or the Amalgam Universe actually has a designation in the Marvel Universe as Earth 9602, which all of a sudden I'm like picking, you know, I'm anagram man. Now I'm seeing 96, and that corresponds with the year that it got released.
Yeah.
96. I don't know what the O2 stands for, but hey.
As many as copies as they sold.
Yep. DC Comics
all
has.
Two.
DC Comics. It's like, hey, how many issues did we sell again? Two.
Two.
Are you sure? Because we really want to make this number a little bit. Nope, that's two. Two.
We did it. We own it. It was two.
DC Comics has not identified an amalgam universe in its multiverse. Interesting.
Because they saw it and were like, no.
Nah.
No, we're good.
You guys can have that.
You go right ahead, boys.
Oh. All right, Ronnie Adams, buddy, we covered a good bit here. We talked. And, you know, as for when this is going to air, my assumption is I'll probably put it, see if you can follow me here. I'm going to probably put it somewhere between our Batman episode that we do and probably right before the one we do on Wolverine, Old Man Logan, as kind of like a transition.
Synergy.
Here you go. Ooh, man, I'm tired.
Chew on that for a little bit. Taste good? No. Yeah, now you know what we went through.
Amalgam. All right, dude. Let's go ahead. We'll get into plugs here. Do you have anything else you'd like to say about Legends of the Dark Claw?
No, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was what it was. It was, I mean, it served its purpose as far as just bringing two characters that everybody loved together. You know, they're two biggest, you know, they're two biggest bank rolls right there.
Yeah.
And saying how well does this work together? Dark Claw actually worked really well together. Mm-hmm. They took two of the darkest characters that they had, their two most popular characters, and they pushed them together. And once again, when you do that, you know, chocolate and peanut butter, peanut butter and chocolate, you get something that goes down easy. Not so much with Sparrow. That one was kind of the white chocolate Kit Kat of comic books. That you shouldn't do that is basically what I'm saying.
I hear you. You got any more candy? Or candy bar.
Listen,
analogies.
Justin from the F Off Metal Podcast, and formerly of the
Figure Forecast.
He and I have discussed candy in great lengths, as far as the M&M peanut butter cups, you know, Reese's M&M cups that should never have happened.
Justin has some of the strongest opinions on some of the most obscure stuff.
Justin has just had strong opinions, and that's why he's awesome.
That's right.
But it's just certain things, you know, worked really well together, and the other things didn't. And then some things were just downright cheesy. It's cough, cough, Spider Boy, cough, cough. But, you know, it served its purpose. It did what it did. Everybody had fun with it. You got to see your two favorite comic book giants come together and work for a little bit, you know, 12 issues here and there, or however many issues it was. Dark Claw was a lot of fun. It was a good read, actually. It took the ferocity of Sabretooth and the insanity of Joker and put it together, and that worked really well.
Yeah.
Really well. Logan and Bruce Wayne are two very dark, brooding characters that their personalities went well together. So it worked out. It really worked out. It was a good read.
Well said. All right, my man, let's go ahead. We'll get into plugs and we'll get ourselves to bed. Sir, I think you probably plugged the only thing you're going to be doing here, but yeah, do it again.
We are going to be back, and we're going to have a live show, hopefully Monday night. We are going to be discussing the further delving into the world of Star Wars, and finally getting around to discussing Rogue One, because we believe now that everybody has seen it, and just breaking that down a little bit and wondering where they're going to go from here with Star Wars. So we're going to talk all things Star Wars and Sweet. Rogue One.
All right, very cool. Where can we find you at?
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the Radio Legend Broadcasting Network with this show and other great shows. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Screaming Boy Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Screaming Boy PR and Instagram, Screaming Boy Podcast. I am right now on a righteous mission to get us verified on Twitter, get that little blue check mark. So if anybody out there in the internet world, the World Wide Web, has a way of getting in touch with the Twitter sphere. It would be really cool to get us verified on there. Don't know why, just because we can, and it would be really cool. So
hey, when you see the blue thing, that's a real deal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everybody else. I mean, shoot, our president has it.
I don't understand why you guys can't have it. It's the president.
Exactly. sports figures, actors, and activists have it. So you know what? We are just as intelligent and
just as real.
Just as real as them. I want to be verified, daggone it.
I don't blame you.
But so that's been a righteous campaign on my part. When I say righteous campaign, I emailed them and asked them, and they said no. You can find us there. You can find us. We have a Snapchat. We don't really use Snapchat. The only thing that I've really gotten on Snapchat are random chats, random snaps or whatever you call them from Jason Teasley. And they're usually just him with a bunny rabbit over his face. So it's a that's always fun. So, you know, find us anywhere on social network. Find us all those places. Download us. Give us the little thumbs up, the like on Facebook. You know, subscribe, share if you enjoy, and if you don't enjoy, you are so wrong. Jesse, I kick it over to you, my friend.
All right, well, Ronnie Adams, I want to thank you for coming on to the Source Materials,
man. Always,
I appreciate it 100%. Ladies and gentlemen, really, just quickly, if you have the opportunity, go over to the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Facebook page. Give that a like. Stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. Source Material also has a Facebook page. If you're so inclined, give that a like as well. Stay up on top. I just share stuff as I'm doing research. I try and share some funny things. And, you know, I'm not going to overload you with a bunch of bull crap. That's not on my agenda. My agenda is to share, and I hope that you enjoy as well. With that being said, if you'd like to go back in the archives, find the DC versus Marvel that we did last year in 2016. Maybe go enjoy that as a little refresher for what led up to Amalgam Comics. Please do so.
Great show.
Yes, a lot of fun, a lot of fun. In the archives right now, you can go check out me and Dean Comfu discussing
Stormwatch. You didn't invite me on. How did you forget that?
I apologize for it. Totally forgot about it. I can't even remember. It's getting late, folks. Stormwatch number one. We covered Image Comics Stormwatch number one. Now, coming up.
Terrible show. I wasn't on it.
Ronnie wasn't on it. The next show we have coming up is supposed to be Old Man Logan, I believe. Unless me and Mark can get Batman 66 in there at some point. So keep an eye out for either one of those shows. Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. My name is Jesse Starcher. That's Ronnie Adams. Thank you for listening to Source Material. We respect you. We love you. Have a great evening.